There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Pot smoke.
Gravel pot, in my gavel. Pot, got smoke, a big pot, pot of pot smoke. Pot, gonna pour smoke, it out pot, on the smoke, bench pond, where smoke, I'd pond, make smoke, jokes. Pond, pour it out pond, and watch pond, it pond, as it seeps pond, through pond, the gap pond, and it forms pat, a little look, pile pat, of pat, gap look, feeling pat, crap.
But look, that bloke pat.
did I ruin your thing there, do you think?
In no way.
Great.
Andy, I
great.
Liked it. Great. You turned it into a thing. It was very it was rhythmic, it was lyrical. You know, I was trying
that's
to transform.
Two of the big three.
Yeah. I, to be honest, did not get hear much of what you were doing, but right. I liked that it had a narrative because yeah. that allowed my thing to keep transforming slowly.
It evolves in the background like a bacteria in a hospital.
Well, also depending, assuming that there's no bacteria in the foreground. But as we know about bacteria, it's everywhere unless the foreground is all bleach.
I think that we've made a mistake with hospitals in that we've created an environment where the bacteria are evolving and becoming stronger, but the doctors themselves aren't evolving.
That's
like
true.
The doctors are protected from illness. You know, they probably go out of their way to like try and make them well when they get sick and that sort of thing. Whereas we should be letting the doctors die. Let the weak doctors die off, right? Maybe even deliberately, harshly try and kill them off, right? So that the few surviving doctors are able to breed and create a new generation of doctors that's even better at curing medicine than the previous generation of doctors.
Or
yes.
We could go the opposite way.
Okay.
And we could, instead of killing all the bacteria, we could keep it alive so it doesn't evolve. And make it immortal.
Well, this is
so that, and sterile.
So it has no incentive to reproduce. Yeah. Well, maybe. I mean, the key to controlling reproduction levels is obviously often education. The more money you put into education, the lower birth rates are in a country. You know, the development. I think we need to be. Well, it's a very Scandinavian thing to do, Alistair. Every bacteria in a hospital is actually trained up and given its own medical degree.
Wow.
Yes. And now it's working so hard it doesn't have time to divide and create more bacteria which will go on to infest the surgical equipment. It's overworked. If anything, it's more likely to die driving home from the hospital after a 24-hour shift in an accident than it is in some sort of antibiotic type situation. So antibiotic. Bacteria are developing antibiotic resistance, sure, but now we've got to look at what are the other things that can kill you that aren't antibiotics. Overwork, you know, stress.
And so that's how we're trying to kill them?
That's how we're trying to kill them, by employing them as doctors and forcing them to die in road accidents.
But then will we then create a super race of bacteria that is
immune to road accidents?
Immune to road accidents and stress and long hours. Bacteria that can work non-stop.
I mean, is there a problem? Is there a problem with that? Do you see a problem with that?
Not yet.
Not yet.
But maybe that lack of being able, that lack of foresight. I don't know. Has there ever been a problem with that?
Have there ever been unintended consequences to medical breakthroughs? I don't think so.
Do you think we have two ideas here?
Oh, what? Hang on. Tell me both of them.
Well, the bacteria is evolving and getting stronger, but doctors aren't.
Doctors aren't. Okay, yes, absolutely, that is one idea. And then there's a separate idea, which is, can we kill the bacteria with overwork? Seems to work on our trusted medical professionals.
Initially, it was by educating them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit messy in the middle there. Like, what exactly is it, you know? But I do believe
that
in Scandinavia.
It is Scandinavian.
It's very Scandinavian. It's very Swedish. Yeah. If you're wondering if things sound a little different here in the booth today, it's because we're not in the booth. We're recording downstairs in the film studio at Stupid Old Studios, sitting on quite uncomfortable chairs, looking into each other's crotches. Because now we can see the crotch, obviously. Normally, what's intriguing to us on the podcast is what's concealed. But now the crotch is revealed because there's no desk between us. And it's just there to be seen. Alistair's writing down in quite a bit of detail, so I've gone into sort of probably more detail than I should. But while I've got your attention, I'll mention that I was recently on the Don't You Know Who I Am podcast by Josh Earle, also part of the Planet Broadcasting Network. I had a jolly good time. Said a lot of things I regret, worry that I embarrassed my parents and possibly other members of my family as well. But there was a great cast of characters on that show. Randy was on.
The puppet.
The puppet, Randy. Claire.
Claire Hagen.
Hagen and Ben Vanell.
Yeah, great. That's would have been fun. Yeah. You know who we haven't had on the podcast who we should?
Who?
Josh Earle.
Josh Earle.
Josh Earle, for years, did a weekly sketch show on Triple R called Lime Champions.
He's probably produced more sketch content than most people working in comedy.
Including us.
Yes. Heaps more. He actually made them, didn't just talk about them.
Yeah. Do you think we should do a weekly...
Hello.
...sketch show?
I think we should.
Here's what's crazy. You and me have been talking about doing a weekly sci-fi story show.
Yeah.
So like one of our bonus episodes, the Sci-Fi Try Guys, we've been considering maybe just because it's so satisfying to write these things and then put them out there that maybe one day we should do them just as a regular out in the world podcast if we can find the time or if we can somehow justify it with our lives.
Sure. As they are.
But we've never been like, well, we have said that maybe one day we would do a, you know, write a sketch show. But maybe, does it feel harder, do you think, to write sketches?
I think it's much harder. And it's because the way we've structured the science fiction thing is that we do them separately and then we just come together and read them to each other. It fits into our lives a lot better and there's no production values. It's just, it fits with our policy of doing the minimum amount of work possible to create a product.
Whereas having to edit and make sure that things are dense with punchlines. These can still be funny, but they're not
That's the trick with stories and with drama. They can just be interesting. Mm. They don't have to be funny.
Yeah.
You know? So if there's a gap between jokes, you just put something in there about like a supernova that flared with the glory of the dying eyes of an entire civilization. Then you're like, oh, then that gets you through a couple of lines, right? Everyone's distracted by measuring the visuals.
Exactly.
And then they're not laughing.
Mm-hmm. You've given the brain something to look at.
They're not laughing. They're shitting themselves.
Yeah, with the power of drama. That's the natural reaction, you know. Comedy gets laughter.
Mm.
Oh, but drama, you shit yourself.
Well,
if it's done right.
If it's done. Well, that's kind of horror, isn't it? Like you either you piss yourself or you shit yourself with fear.
Yeah.
Right. That's kind of the big laugh.
I think really with horror, it's you experience trauma.
Trauma.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because then you know, like there, you know, we all have trauma from having watched a horror movie too early when we were kids. One thing that scarred us for 10 years, where now it might not hurt us. Back then, it was causing nightmares that we believed might have been real.
This is either the episode of Around the Twist, where there's a skeleton on the toilet seat, or the 2 or 3 seconds of Jurassic Park that I saw from behind the couch, where the guy gets bitten in half when he's sitting on the toilet, resulting in my years of toilet terror.
That's true.
Yeah.
But you actually did have toilet seat terror, didn't you?
Yeah, I was scared of toilets.
That's so weird. But like you thought it was based on you were worried about germs that you got from toilet seats, but turns out you were worried about either skeletons or dinosaurs.
Yeah,
but you couldn't admit that.
I could. That's not apparently. That's something that you can't say publicly. But if you just tell people you're a germaphobe or something like that, you know. I think it's a good cover. If you were scared of something absurd, like, you know, that you might have your soul stolen by a terraforming alien, a polymorphic transforming alien spirit, you know, in somebody else's body, trapped in someone else's body, you'd just say you were a germaphobe so that you didn't ever have to touch them and have them take your DNA, right?
Yeah.
But germaphobe, everyone's like, oh, yeah, great. Makes a lot of sense.
Is there a sketch in that?
Well, I think a sort of a guide to concealing your neuroses as publicly acceptable behaviours it could be good, right? Like, how do you say you've got agoraphobia? How do you dress that up as something that well, agoraphobia, I guess, is one that's maybe more acceptable. There's more, you know, social understanding of that.
But you know, I guess you could sort of do like John Lennon and Yoko and sort of have bed-ins or sleep-ins or whatever it was.
Turn it into a protest. Oh, I'm not terrified of it. I'm boycotting it.
Yeah.
It's a very different thing.
I'm boycotting the environment.
I'm taking a political stance. Mm. Boycotting the environment. Could this be our political... Our way that we protest climate change is boycott the environment?
Well, you know that, you know, I told you that they found that there was some company that found a new type of food, and it was like just like a bacteria or something like that that they could reproduce, and then they just breed it, you know, basically separate from the rest of the environment. Obviously, it has to be fed something.
Separate from the environment?
Well, kind of. Like, you don't need it's not agriculture.
Right.
It's like
it's not part of existing food chains in any way. Does it get energy from the sun?
Possibly.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And then you would breed that, and then it becomes like a meal essentially, like
great. Let's get that going.
Or something like that. And so it's just a paste, so you can use it like a powder, you might be able to make some kind of bread type thing.
It's kind of like the dark web. Mm. Right, in that it's like it's just a separate internet. This is a totally separate ecosystem, right? That
we've got to be able to create these things so that we can live in the chambers that will be our homes.
Hollowed underground, yes. When the earth is scorched.
I don't think we're that far away from sort of that Matrix thing where we're living underground. We're near the core.
Where it's still warm. Or cold.
Yeah.
In this case, it's actually turned out we made the Earth's surface so hot that, relatively speaking, it was better down here in the core.
Yeah, but there's that comfortable place in between the scorched Earth.
There's got to be.
And the 10,000 degrees.
So we find that area, right? But it turns out that it's only a sort of a radius of about a foot. You know, where you
we'll
can live.
All just laying
We're
there.
All just lying down and crawling
and
around.
And we become two-dimensional.
We become living on a two-dimensional surface, like little, you know, polygonic little creatures.
Then we would very easily be convinced, you know, say you're the third generation of those people.
Yes.
You could easily be convinced that you just live on a flat plane.
On a flat plane, and there is no up and down.
Well, of course not, because up is just back scrapings.
Yes.
And down is just belly scrapings.
You would never look up there.
Yeah.
Or back down
because
there.
Because if you look up, you just get dirt in your eye.
Correct.
But if you look down, you get dirt in your eye.
Is this a sketch? I realise this is quite a bit like a science fiction story that I wrote on the Sci-Fi Try Guys.
It's actually like two science fiction stories that you wrote on Sci-Fi Try Guys.
Is it?
Because you had one where it was set in a 2D world and they didn't know about the three. But then you also just wrote that other one where people... were generations...
Oh, deep into
deep into a multi-generational spaceship journey. And they had forgotten what the original story and why they were on there and what this was and things like that. So it's a mixture of both of them.
I wonder if you could carve out an entire hollow layer within the Earth, right? Think about this, right? If there was a hollow layer inside the Earth... would anything change? Because I don't think it would collapse down, right? Because there's enough Earth, like it would be pulled equally at every point by the gravitational attraction. Like the outer layer wouldn't collapse because it would be pulled equally at every point by the gravitational attraction, right? And the inner layer's pulled in. So I think you could have just like a consistent gap all the way around.
Oh, you mean like an archway?
Yeah.
But that goes all the way around.
Correct.
That is Earth-sized.
Mm.
Yeah, I wonder...
If there was any structural weakness at all in that outer layer, it would collapse and everyone would die.
Yeah.
But I like a chance. I like a punt. So let's take a risk.
Sure. I mean, it's like an Easter egg kind of model of Earth. Because it has just that outer layer, but then nothing in the middle. But I guess this would have something in the middle. It would have another dense core.
Yes.
But it's just a... But would it just float above it?
I guess it just, yeah. I guess you could put up some pylons, surely. Some structural beams.
I suppose we could have some structural beams. I was hoping it could be a total free, you know, like an open plan kind of situation.
You're the architect.
Where we crawl around eating. We're using your bacteria that just grows anywhere, just grows on the ground, right? So we're crawling across it and eating it up like a little limpet, you know, and our mouths would evolve to become basically sort of like big sort of vacuum cleaner type suction things that just hoover their way along.
And we could just breed them in a pouch under our necks.
So we're self-contained.
Yeah, like that. And so then whenever we need it, we just open that pouch.
Oh, and we eat. Oh, so, but why isn't it already just inside? And whenever we need
inside
it, we just
mouths.
Swallow it.
Because then what about when you need to talk and stuff?
And we won't talk. Or if we communicate, it'll be with the tips of our fingers wiggling them at each other.
Yeah, but how will we breed? This is what I wonder. Do you just, I know, do you...
We'll breed butt to butt in the cloacal kiss, Alistair.
Oh, of course.
Because the male genitalia will have had to change because it will have been scraped off from all the crawling.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And it'll have to have moved around.
It'll be like a natural circumcision that goes all the way down.
Correct.
Because, you know, it's like a budgie's beak on some cuttlefish.
Mm.
You know, you keep wearing it down until eventually it's the perfect size, which is no size.
No, none at all.
In terms of the cloacal one. What about the testicle bag? Will that be worn down so that the testicles sort of...
They will have drawn back within us.
You're sort of pulling them like a cowboy but on a rope behind a horse.
So they're out of the bag and it's just individual testicles attached by the vas deferens. Is that the vas deferens?
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah, and then
it's a great word.
And they just bounce along the ground
along,
like cans behind a just married wedding couple in their limousine.
And maybe they're just...
And there's a little sign stuck to your butt that says, just tore my ball bag off.
And maybe they're just like, you know, every now and then you accidentally pierce one on a sharp rock.
Okay.
As you're crawling through this sort of, I guess, this your body-sized thick tunnel that goes all the way around the world. Occasionally you pierce them on a sharp rock. And splooge seeps out, and then other people who are crawling behind you
become impregnated as they crawl across the pool of loose splooge.
Yeah, it's not necessarily a pool. It's just dotted about as it's spawned.
You've spawned.
Yeah. Uncontrollably
from your pierce. Yeah, no, I think that works. I'm looking forward to it, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm sad that, we have to go out in the sun, because, I mean, that's what they won't have, no sun cancer. I mean, skin cancer, yes.
While we're pitching Brave New Worlds, Alistair, can I re-mention something that I mentioned to you just before we did the podcast, which is my my public toilet solution for farting, which is because we have... You know, methane is obviously an environmental issue because of the atmosphere.
Yeah.
We have a place where you can wee. We have a place where you can poo. But there's no public receptacle for farts.
That's right.
And I think that we could just have sort of like, almost like, I'm sure the Dyson people can get onto this, but like just down on the sides of buildings, maybe next to those fire hose hydrant areas, just a hole that just sucks at all times, right?
Yeah.
You can just, if you're going to fart, you go stand. And you fart into the hole, like sucks it away.
Like what smokers do these days. They hang out in a group and they just fart around this. Instead of like an ashtray, it's just a little pipe.
And farting then could become the new smoking. You say, anybody want to go on a fart break? Right?
Yeah.
And you and your work colleagues, you go and you huddle around near
and
the
sort
of... And
you stink together.
Yeah.
And you stand around and you chat about
you
the
take
weekend.
Take it in turns.
Yeah.
Letting one rip into the pipe.
Yeah. Make it cool. You can hold two fingers up against...
Make it cool.
Those two fingers that you would normally use to secure a cigarette between your feet, you could use them to part your cheeks.
I was going to say we could have like a sort of a cigarette type little pipe thing which you hold to your butt to guide the fart into the public thing, because you probably don't want to make butt contact with the public pipe. That would be disgusting.
Of course.
But you could have quite a cool little Audrey Hepburn style little cigarette holder that you just, you know, hold between the two fingers to your butt and fart down there.
Or maybe like a
tube.
Little like a little funnel, like a little cone.
A funnel, a cone,
that,
yes.
You know, obviously has that thin bit that you can keep between your fingers, but then you just place it to the back of your butt and then and it's just great.
It's just great.
Just the world is such a better place.
Can you write that down?
I've written down.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. Public fart works. Do you have a favourite public artwork, Alistair? You know, like the ones by the side of the road? I don't know if they have this elsewhere in other countries, mm-hmm. but as part of infrastructure laws in Victoria, right, major infrastructure projects have to dedicate a certain amount of their budget, a certain percentage, to art. And that's why when you drive down a lot of freeways mm-hmm. or toll roads in Melbourne, mm-hmm. There are big public artworks like a huge sculptures next to the road.
I love that. Yeah. I really like that. There's a wire one that's done with wires.
Mm.
And it's just, it's probably 2D.
Yeah.
But it looks like a house.
Mm. Yeah, big double story house.
Big double story.
As you come off the...
The kind of house that I could never afford.
Correct. Even in 2D. Mm. Couldn't even afford a drawing of it.
No.
That, have you driven past that a lot?
Because
that is the stinkiest section of road.
Really?
Yeah. Just when you come off that exit there to get onto the Western Ring Road, I think it is.
Yeah.
Is just like a miasma of stench. There must be, I don't know what it is, but there's something near there where exactly as you turn to drive into Melbourne, you pass through a cloud of like perma stench,
would
and it
be
smells
silage?
So bad.
Is there
sewage?
No, silage.
Silage.
Would it be? Is there dairy cows or anything?
I don't think
there?
So. It's quite an industrial area.
Mm.
Yeah.
What kind of industry are they in? Sort of bovine.
Could be
manufacture.
Yeah. they make cows.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's a bad area.
Do you know what silage is? I think it's
just rotten grass, isn't it?
I think it's grass that's had maybe milk poured on it.
Really?
Maybe something like that.
I know. Well, my understanding of silage is that you just take fresh grass when it's been cut like you would for hay. You cover it with plastic sheeting and you let it ferment. And that begins a digestive process that would otherwise take place inside the cow. It means that the cows are actually able to get more nutritional value out of the grass than they would otherwise. I don't know if you need to cover it with milk. Well, maybe that's just if you're having it for breakfast with your cereal.
Or maybe that would help have, you know, for there to be
the
fermentation.
Cow, digestive,
for the sugar, the sugars in the milk, you
could
know,
be.
Or the bacteria in the milk, you know, I don't know.
Chuck a bit of cow, a bit of milk in there, a bit of cheese, a bit of...
Just get a couple of kilo blocks of, you know, bigger, strong and bitey vintage cheddar cheese.
Kilo blocks of that,
I don't think they even sell the kilo blocks.
They wouldn't. When you get into the vintage area, you're lucky to go above 250 grams.
When I worked at the Biga Cheese Factory.
Yes, Alistair. You've got cheese in your veins.
In the trim room. That's where, you know, you get those big 20-kilo blocks go out onto the...
20-kilo blocks?
Well, that's what they go out onto the conveyor baits on each one of the lines, you know, mm-hmm. and then they get chopped up into 1-kilo blocks. But there's all those sides, you know, that the sides of the 20-kilo blocks when they come out of the...
Because they're a bit irregularly shaped or something like that?
Yeah, they've got a weird kind of skin to them, like not a kind of skin, but they're like a coating, which is a bit shiny and things like that. And you want that beautiful matte finish on your block of cheese.
I do.
You know? And so they trim off all those sides, and then all those trims go to the trim room.
Yeah.
Like that, right?
In Superman 3, what's his name? Richard Pryor developed a way of an algorithm that allowed him to siphon off all those trimmed pieces of cheese and put them into a special cheese account.
Well, that's genuinely like it goes into the trim room, and then you put those into 20-kilo bags, you vacuum seal them.
Mm.
But then they get used in stuff like the...
grated cheese for pizzas.
No. I think they might use 20-kilo blocks for that.
Yeah.
They'll use it in the individually wrapped slices, IWS.
Right. And they're able to then get a lot more out of it that way.
Of course, and it doesn't have to look beautiful.
Yeah, individual. Do they then process it in some way to get the individually wrapped
slices?
They put slices. They put it through something, and it becomes weird.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not. It doesn't feel like real cheese.
Yeah, but I mean, it's been ground up, and then done, something would have been done to it to get that shiny finish. Something's been done to it. You give it that shiny finish. It was very different to what you want with the block. You know, you give it that natural matte look.
Yeah, you want those to be shiny.
And then these ones, you want the shiny thing, and you want it to be uniform, beautifully uniform.
You know what I want? Mm. I want the opportunity to buy a 20-kilo block of cheese. You know, who are they to deny me that? Right? If that's what I want, I should be able to get that in a shop.
It would take up a lot of your fridge.
I don't care.
Yeah, no, you're right. You should be allowed to.
Yeah, but I'm being stopped from becoming my...
Well, have you ever called the factory?
True self. Yeah, call the factory. Yeah. So can I get
Think
one of
the size of the goblet you could whittle.
I could whittle a trough. An entire trough, Alistair. A keg.
And you and a bunch of pigs.
Yes.
Could
drink wine out of it. Wine with swine. Mm. That'll be my new podcast.
Oh, so it'll be a podcast. It won't even be a visual thing.
No, just audio. Just a lot of mouth noise.
It could be like Shusher. Mm-hmm. It's a thing that people used to get to sleep. They just listen to you and a bunch of pigs.
Gather around a cheese trough.
A cheese trough. And then it'll be you guys drinking the wine, but you trying to stop the pigs from eating the cheese.
Okay. Well, I don't know if this would help people get to sleep. It actually sounds quite stressful.
Yeah. I don't know.
It
could be good.
Is that a sketch?
Is that a sketch?
We talked for a long time. Mm. We went via public art, smelly roads, cheese offcuts. What a journey, though.
Well, we got to something. Now, is there a sketch in that? I don't know if there is.
No, it's hard to.
It's kind of a standalone piece.
Yeah. Yeah,
that stands alone and away from the Venn diagram of what sketches could be.
It stands alone because nothing else wants to be associated with it.
Maybe you're right there.
Because it's farting into a tube.
No, as we addressed in the thing, that's going to be a communal...
That's a social thing.
That's a social thing.
Actually brings people together.
Yeah.
You know, and then it can be like an intimate thing where, like, you know, if you're flirting with someone, they can ask to borrow... your tube. That's why they call it bumming a tube.
Yeah, bumming a cigarette.
Can I bum your tube?
Can I bum a tube off you? And so people just have a pack of reusable tubes that they hang around with them. So that it still feels like smoking. Mm. Or, you know, you could do that thing where you tap the box and then one sticks out like that. And just a little metal, it'll just be those metal straws that we normally use for...
That woman fell over and it pierced her eye and went into her brain and killed her instantly. Mm-hmm.
But that up against our most precious of holes.
It's a beautiful thing.
Do you consider the eye socket an orifice? Because the eye, in a way, sort of stops it from being an orifice.
I consider it to be a plugged orifice. It's the socket itself, absolutely an orifice. Mm. But the eye is like a permanent plug. It feels like it's sort of the stopper that you would put in the top of like one of those whiskey... begins with a D, decanters, you know, like a little stopper there.
Yeah.
Stuff could come out of the eye, absolutely, but we've plugged it.
But that's usually that there's like a little hole on the edge of the eye where the tear ducts are.
Mm, right, that's true. So it is, there's a little gap there that things can sneak out.
Like I've said this before, I think things can get behind the eye by riding on the eyeball, and then behind the eyeball I reckon is a mess. It's just... lots of eyelashes and there's gunk back there and things like that.
Like down the back of a couch.
Like down the back of a couch, yeah.
Have we talked about this on the podcast?
Maybe. I think it feels like something.
It's a great theory. Mm. I think that when you're looking for, coins because you need to buy something, or like you're trying to pay the parking. You pulled up somewhere and you search around in the car and you look in the little thing, all the places where grit builds up in the car, in the various... compartments and that sort of thing. Then you should sort of check behind your eye, get a finger back there, feel around. There's probably a couple of bucks back there.
It should be something people should ask their optometrist.
Is there anything back there?
Is there anything back there? I don't know if you can see through there, but can we look?
I think they definitely have some sort of little thing, little widget that they can get in behind, scrape around, pull stuff out. Oh yeah, you got heaps of stuff back here. You'll feel better now.
Yeah, there should be what's that thing where you... it's like a colonic for your eye socket.
An enema.
Yeah, like an enema, but an enema. Enemi.
E-I-A.
E-I-A. There you go. Beautiful.
I think an eye enema, sort of, an optometrist looking around the back of your eye and finding a bunch of stuff. Is that a sketch?
What about it's a person who's been looking for change.
Mm.
And I just have this theory that there might be some behind my eye.
Because,
You know, things get there. I don't know. It's not quite a sketch like that yet.
Yeah, like are you talking about like in my sort of hypothetical type scenario where you're waiting in the car looking for parking meter change or that sort of thing?
Mm.
Yeah. Well, how would it get in there? Like it would have to fall out on your pillow, I presume, while you're sleeping, right? And then somehow get behind. But not a lot of stuff.
It falls on your pillow while you're sleeping because the tooth fairy misses.
Really good. I was trying to think, why would there ever be change on a pillow?
Mm-hmm.
You've got the exact situation, Alistair. Tooth fairy.
Oh, right, yeah.
The whole bunch back there. It's like the thing that we've talked about on the podcast and turned into a sketch about the number of spiders that you eat while you're sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
This is another great possible fact. You know, everybody over their lifetime, on average, collects about $3 or $4 of change behind their eyeball from misplaced tooth fairy money that gets behind their eye while they're sleeping.
Yeah, and they go, do you think the optometrist could say, now there's $3.45
in
there from when you were a kid.
Mm.
But if you allow for inflation, that's actually $7. But unfortunately, we can't allow for inflation because it's just coins.
And also, yeah, that's not really how that works. It would actually be worth less now, I think, wouldn't it? Right? Like inflation means that the dollars of yesterday aren't worth as much now.
Yeah, but
I mean, if you'd used those dollars back then to buy something, the value of that thing would have increased in dollar terms because of inflation. But the dollars themselves actually will have gone down in value.
In real terms.
Mm. What the doctor, maybe the what the optometrist says to you is he says, or she says, my latest optometrist was a woman. Right, and she says,
how progressive.
I can get this out. I can get this out for you, but I'll split it with you. All right, 60-40, finder's fee. And that's how they pay. That's how they pay for it.
Well, that's because they could say, I guess that's maybe how the sketch could work, is that they're like, no, how's it going in there? You know, you ask it about your eye as they're looking deep into it. They say, I found $3.40.
Mm.
What? Well, and then that whole thing, and then they go, I'll get it out. But I'll split it with you.
Yeah.
Finder's fee. Because you've been going about your life not knowing that it was there.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have got this. I mean, you can try and get it out yourself, but you'll do damage. I can do this.
Yeah.
I can get it out clean, you know.
And I'll do it pro bono. Mm. Just for the winning.
it's a no win, no fee type optometrist where you go in, they don't charge you any more than the money that they can find behind your eye.
Then 60% of the money they can find behind your eye.
I think in general this could be a whole new model for Medicare because people also swallow coins when they go to the doctor when they're a kid and that sort of thing. So there'd be coins in your belly and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And the doctor says, "Look, I can fix you up, but I get to keep any money I find on you."
Yeah, maybe they could also just extract any iron from your blood. So like at the current iron rate.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you probably need some of that iron.
Now your iron levels are good right now, but you're going to have to start eating a lot of capsicum and beef because I'm going to take most of that iron to pay for this session.
Correct.
And sell it to BHP.
I like a sort of a finder's fee based type doctor's medical establishment where, you know, and if there's things like, you know, a couple of teeth that they know that you don't use, right? They can look at the wear and tear patterns on your teeth and say, he's not even using these teeth. They can take those teeth, right? And then they can sell them on to somebody
maybe
else who needs teeth.
After the checkup, you know, and this would be a good way of ensuring that they're actually having a good look at your body.
Mm.
They can give you a series of options of how you could pay. They go, now, right now the kidney market is absolutely hot.
Mm.
So you could get in there and you could get three times what you could have got for your kidney last week. Now, kidney, oh wait, that's right. You've still got two, so that's great.
Mm.
Liver, I only want to take 20%, and that'll 20%. Grow back.
Yeah.
Right? So, I don't know what you're thinking, but, or if you don't like that, I'm going to take, you know,
I found a, is that pimple for sale? Do you think you can part with that pimple? We got a movie set on coming in who they need some very real looking pimples.
Yeah, pustule type and, situation.
Something full like that. If you can hold off on popping that next couple of hours.
Mm-hmm. I can give you top dollar.
Top dollar.
Alistair.
That's how you make medicine free.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, by extracting value from the human body. Just money that's just sitting idle.
Why can't the body be a mine, you know?
Mm. What's mine is mine.
Yeah. It's yours to mine.
Yeah, I love it. Have we got enough ideas to go on to a suggestion from a listener of the podcast?
Andy, we only have six.
Oh, well, that's exactly enough.
All right, we'll do three words from a listener, which is a $3 Patreon
supporter.
Supporter who, or higher, is allowed to suggest.
Oh, higher is fine words. As well.
Yeah, we're okay with higher. Thank you to everybody who supports us on Patreon. It brings us so much joy and money and helps us. Right now, it's because we're unemployed for 4 months, it is unbelievably important.
So thank you very much.
Yes, you have no idea. So thank you very much. Today's supporter is called David Bourne.
Do you think that the movie The Bourne Identity...
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that
made you think of that, by the way?
I liked it.
No. What made you think of The Bourne Identity?
Oh, David Bourne's name.
Oh, yeah, right.
But do you think that in some way that name is kind of a pun? Because, like, at the beginning of the first film, he's sort of, like, pulled out of water, which is a kind of a birth. So he's kind of reborn in a way.
Yeah.
Would you think that was there as an element?
I mean, it would be sick. If the writer hadn't thought of that.
I hope they thought of
that. But they should have found him in some kind of like...
Goo. It should have been gooier. Yeah. What's the gooiest of all the oceans that he could have been pulled out of?
He should have come out of like a whale's orifice.
Mm.
Any would have been fine.
Okay.
You know, I'm not picky.
I don't really care. Could have been around the eyeball. Yeah.
Or could have come out of like an oil tank.
Mm.
You know, like just like an oil vat. Like he'd fallen into an oil vat. In the back of a fish and chip shop.
It's exactly the same movie as The Bourne Identity, except at the beginning, instead of being pulled out of some Russian ocean, he is pulled out of, in Ace Ventura, when nature calls style, he's pulled out of the anus of a rhinoceros.
Rhinoceros.
Exactly the same film, comes out of the anus of a rhinoceros, doesn't have any memory.
Yeah.
Is that too much to ask?
It doesn't seem like too much to ask. And I mean, and it's due for a reboot.
It is. It is. They will definitely do that.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get whoever that guy is from Rocket Man. I'll get him. He'll do it.
Really?
That's what I reckon. Haven't seen it, but he feels like he's.
Yeah, you think he's Jew?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. What about Eddie?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Eddie, you know that guy?
Pepitone? No. Remake The Bourne Identity with Eddie Pepitone.
Yeah, he played
Redmayne.
Eddie Redmayne.
Yeah. Always does a fairly eccentric kind of, makes a lot of choices. I like that about his acting. He makes choices.
That's right. He's not just a straight meat and potatoes kind of
actor. No.
You know? It's like I've heard about this in jazz, that there would be guys who they just play the song as is, as written on the thing, and they're called a legit man.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, Ellington would have a few legit men on his orchestra.
Right.
And so then you'd give the flair to somebody else.
Yep.
But you need these legit guys to give the sort of the strong backing of your thing, and then you give the bit of flair to somebody else. Anyway. That's what Eddie Redmayne isn't.
Yes.
He's not legit. All right.
Hi, David. I'd love to just make a movie where we only cast people called Eddie.
All right.
I think that'd be really fun. Maybe. Right? We get Eddie Murphy, we get Eddie Redmayne, we get Eddie Pepitone.
Yeah.
This is an approach to casting, mm-hmm. you know, and to filmmaking in general. You don't even think about what the film's going to be until you've cast all your Eddies.
Would you allow any Ednas?
Yeah. Like yeah, I would, and I'd get Edie Falco as well.
Oh, so you'd allow Edies?
Yeah. In fact, I'd allow anyone, really. Yeah, it's whatever we could get.
A couple of Marks, maybe a Clementine, a Charles.
I'm not really married to this whole Eddie thing. Yeah.
I'd even cast a chair in one of the main roles.
Correct.
So, hi, David. David Bourne. David's three words. Do you want to try to guess what they are?
Rip Torn's obituary.
No.
Damn.
You didn't get a single one. Right. Do you want to have one more guess?
Okay. Coriander repurposing obsessive.
God, you're bad at this.
I just embarrassed myself?
He's so badly. All right, here we go. I'll tell you the three real words, what they actually are. Okay, from David, three words are modulation.
Yes.
Heater. Courier.
Modulation, heater, courier.
Yeah.
I'd like to apologize for David. I had you all wrong.
Yeah, go.
You know?
It was disgusting.
I'm a bad judge of people.
I wouldn't be surprised if nobody listens to the 204th episode of this new season.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, the fourth episode of this new season.
Nobody's coming back.
Season two.
Imagine
that. Season two is actually, it's not the show that changes, it's the audience. They change in that they go away.
Hey, it wouldn't be the first time that had happened.
Yeah.
Modulation, heater, courier.
Mm. Modulation, I'm seeing like one of those square waves.
Well, here's what I'm feeling, right? Is that we haven't ever really, as far as I'm aware, used heat as a form of communication. You know, we modulate all sorts of things. We modulate vibration in the air. We use color. Mm-hmm. We use even you know, movement, vibration, all these kinds
pigeons.
Of things. Pigeons, exactly. We modulate pigeons. It's Morse code, but with pigeons.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's four pigeons, then a gap, then another six pigeons. How do we know if that was an actual gap or if one of the pigeons just caught up with one of the other pigeons?
Oh, no, they're good pigeons. Oh, no, that pigeon. That was Eddie Pigeon. Because we cast them in this movie of pigeons where they're all called Eddie. Well, how do you know that was a good Eddie? Oh, no, they're all. They're all good Eddies.
Anyway, I'm just wondering if you could modulate heat, hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold to try to communicate something.
Haven't
to
we
someone?
Done that with...
Have
with
we?
That, with that game, Hot and Cold. Oh, you're getting hot. Getting hotter.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you're getting colder.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that communicates location, doesn't it?
Mm.
Mm.
But could you communicate? Let's say you're the CIA.
Yep.
Right? And you're trying to communicate with your spy.
Yeah.
Right? And he's in a hotel. Right?
Yep.
But he lives with the person that he's spying against. So.
Okay.
Or how about she lives with the guy that she's spying on?
Yes.
Who is some diplomat,
great.
Right? From Bulgaria.
Yep.
Right, and she's there to make sure that the USSR.
Bulgaria, the land of tomorrow.
The land of tomorrow and yesterday. And
I think that's something for our 200th episode, which you may not have listened to, but we talked a lot about speculative ideas about what Bulgaria might be like.
Yeah.
I think I read something recently that mentioned Bulgaria, and I was like, oh, things aren't as good there as we might have hoped.
Well, we thought that they were good, but also very bad.
Correct.
Yeah. And so then, so in order for the CIA, she's always being watched.
Mm.
The guy could even be in the room with her,
mm.
sitting on the toilet while she bathes, because he's very clingy,
right.
like that. But
he sounds like a catch.
But she's in the bath, and the tap's on, and it's filling up. And what he doesn't know, but she does, is that the CIA has wired that tap.
Yes, right.
Right? And they are filling up the bath, and her foot, her toe is just in the thing.
Normally, you tap into a wire. Here, they've wired into a tap.
That's right.
They flip the whole thing around.
And they're making the water hot and cold.
Hot and cold. She's getting pneumonia because of all these changes in temperature. But she's getting the message, which is, hang tight. Don't do anything.
Don't do anything for now.
Yep.
Doing great. How's the Bulgarian? We should know.
And then how is she communicating back to them? Or is this just a one-way thing? Pigeons? Releasing a modulated stream of pigeons?
Well, she could be using heat as well, right? Mm. What ways could you... You know how, like, you can push so that you're hard in your sort of gut somewhere so that your face goes red?
Red, yeah.
So do you think...
That's a great way to communicate.
Like that she could be putting pressure on her head.
Yes.
And they, just through the window, are shooting a laser.
Yep.
And that it's just a temperature laser onto her forehead.
And so over the course of like 24 hours of doing this.
This is while she's bathing.
Yeah.
So they're having a conversation. And the guy's sitting there, and he's like looking at his phone, and he's talking to her. He goes,
and her face is going red.
She's like,
are you okay?
Are you okay? And she goes, oh, yes.
And she's got the tap running the whole time.
She's got the tap running. She loves to. She's just like, I like.
She should be in the shower. That makes more sense.
No. The shower is going to go over her face.
She doesn't like the water to go over her face.
No.
She just has it going over her shoulders.
Because she's got that weird pressure thing.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, I'm sorry, I'm just getting furious about that parking ticket earlier.
Yeah, okay. Alternately furious and calm.
No, you know what, I'm okay with it. Oh, like that.
Alistair, this is a beautiful scene from what I'm sure will be a very successful film. and it's called... maybe this could be part of the Bourne, the new Bourne franchise that we're doing with that guy from Rocket Man.
They come out of some mammalian orifice.
Yes, she.
Oh, she does. Yeah, that's right. And great. I like that a lot.
Mm.
I mean, even if she cut herself out of like a crocodile's belly or.
Yes, an anaconda.
Oh yeah, something that swallows you whole like that.
Sure.
But then she has no memories, but she just knows that she has a knife in her hand and that she's wearing some kind of breathing thing.
A little thing under her skin, little chip under her skin.
Mm.
Skin chip. Was that, he did have something under his skin,
didn't
he?
Yeah, and did they find
it? Did he get it out himself?
I thought maybe somebody else did.
Yeah, right.
There might have been those people on that ship, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean.
I gotta rewatch that film.
The balls on people cutting into your arm.
On a ship. Just some self-taught doctor out there in the ocean. Mm. There's something in his arm.
That's something.
I might get that out.
Yeah.
Finder's fee. Could be something good.
Oh, could be something very. Well, that'll pay for the rest of our trip on this boat. This fishing boat that I've gone on as a holiday.
Where I have to pay.
It feels like
we've done it. You've got to read us through the sketches.
Oh yeah,
all
right. Fuck. Sorry about that. I feel really embarrassed.
Yeah.
Those sounds out of context make me seem like an insane
person.
Like
a lunatic.
All right. Well, we got killing doctors so that they can evolve and get more powerful, like bacteria does.
Mm. Well, not necessarily kill them, but just stop protecting them. Stop mollycoddling them.
Yeah.
No gloves.
You need them to breed so that they can evolve.
None of those masks expose them to some of that disease that they're supposed to be fighting.
Right.
For somebody who's supposed to be fighting disease, they seem to be cowards, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm.
Hiding from disease.
They're snipers. They're the snipers of,
yes,
of the human versus bug war. Then we've got stop bacteria evolving by using education to make them doctors so that they're too busy to breed and then also die in road accidents.
Correct.
From being exhausted. Then we've got...
The great thing about casting bacteria in a sketch is that you don't have to pay for actors. They're too small to see. Mm. So you just film a bench top or whatever
and then
just get a voiceover.
And you win.
You win. That's all profit.
That's everything there is profit. Do you think you could get footage of, like, just bacteria moving around and you could make that into a TV show? Like if you just give
them
voices and stuff?
I think I thought of this once.
Yeah?
I was like, yeah, like it's a little cartoon series. It would just be a little, yeah.
But real bacteria. Footage of bacteria?
I didn't think of that. I thought it would be animated.
Mm. What about just two plants, house plants sitting there?
Yep.
I think maybe we came up with this ages ago. It would be like a reality TV show about these two house plants.
Yeah.
But just, you know, you kind of give it a bit more story through narration.
Was it going to be shit plants, say?
No.
No?
No.
Because that's the thought I've had.
Yeah, right.
Back when that was a hot topic.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Shit plants.
I might start doing those now.
Yeah.
I've actually genuinely thought about that. But I've always thought of things, I guess they do say stuff you never hear people say.
Mm. Yeah, those ones feel.
But then instead of taking it to the relevant things, people always go, oh, you know, it's like these cab drivers don't say, oh, I'm going to go wash my armpits, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but it should be things cab drivers never say, meep, sapunda, la pon.
Volcanoes feel good on my buttock mouse. See like that? It's nothing. I'll just draw my leg. All right, then we got the new 2D culture of people. This is when we go into the earth and to get away from the scorching surface, but stay away from the scorching deep earth. Mm-hmm. And we just create a little layer that we all travel through. And we
that's the new Goldilocks zone. That turns out that there's just one little strip there where
it's
we can survive
smaller, very
happily.
I know, but Goldilocks zone is also a place where you're at risk of being killed by bears.
Yeah.
And then we got the fart wall pipe, public fart works. That's where you just go and sit. It's a like little place where you fart now.
And you have the little Audrey Hepburn bummer smoke cigarette.
Bummer smoke thing. Then we got gunk in the back of your eyeball change.
Yeah.
That's the introduction of that idea. And then.
The introduction.
Introduction of that. It's a silent sea, isn't it? And then we got finder's fee based medical establishments. And I know it's a kind of link to the other one.
Linked.
But I think that can be its own idea.
I love a link.
Yeah. It's not even bulk billed. It's just.
Mm-hmm.
There's no bill.
Yeah.
It's just whatever I can find on your body that's worth something.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll use that to pay for your thing.
It's financially neutral.
Mm. And then we got the CIA heat modulation communication spy sort of scenario. It's like a Femme Nikita thing, but instead of, you know, living her regular life and then eventually being called up to murder, she's always a spy undercover and then occasionally gets called up through heat to see how she's going.
Correct.
Maybe called up to not murder anymore.
Stop murdering.
Well, I mean, that's the opposite, isn't it? It's like, so there's people like Femme Nikita, who is a trained killer.
Yes.
Who
occasionally gets activated.
Yeah, occasionally gets activated to do one kill.
Mm.
But you could have this untrained killer.
Yes, who's constantly killing.
All they know is to kill.
Yeah.
But occasionally you call them up.
You send them a photograph of somebody's face and say, not this one.
Yeah.
Are you writing that down?
Yeah.
Oh my God, Alistair.
Reverse Femme Nikita. It'll be man something.
Yep. Tekina. And ship it up, thank you so much for listening to Two in the Think Tank. We really do appreciate it. I hope the audio was good for this one.
Yeah. Sometimes these other ones are the audio isn't as good and we apologize.
Sometimes it's a lot worse.
Sometimes it could be turned up just a little bit.
Yeah?
But, yeah?
Yeah,
that's what I found. But it's just quieter than regular episodes.
Okay, well, I'll mention that to George.
Mm.
And but look, we love you for listening to the podcast.
We love you for listening to the podcast and sometimes for not listening to the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at StupidOldAndy.
If you want to follow me, I'm at AlistairTB.
I was on the Josh Earl podcast.
Yeah.
Don't you know who I am?
I do another podcast called Shusher Guided Meditations.
Yes, you do.
It's very relaxing. Some people masturbate to it, apparently. One woman.
The fact that, you know, someone masturbates to something on the internet, you know, I think at least one person masturbates to everything on the internet.
I'm sorry. It's just nobody ever tells people. And no one had ever told me before.
It's very exciting. It's very exciting for a young man.
Hey, I'm not that young anymore, Andy.
No. Well.
But it's not even that exciting to me.
No?
Oh, it is exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's exciting in a way that I can't quantify.
Totally. It's something new, and that's good.
But I'm not saying that that's what people will get out of listening to Shusher.
No, that's the wrong expectation to go in with.
But see if you can.
Yeah.
You know, why not?
I think those downloads count double.
Hey, if you send me a tweet that says bloop bloop, that just means you tried it and it worked.
We'll know.
Yeah. You know? And that way no one else has to know.
But look, I would like to know if somebody just sends a single bloop. That means that you tried it and it didn't work.
Okay.
And then we're getting the complete data set.
And this is bloop modulation.
Yeah.
This is bloop modulation communication.
And we love you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.